Wade MacWin here with another exciting episode of Scrotus POTUS. Joining me in this episode, two very funny guys, one back from Edinburgh, Phil Nickel. Also have Dave Fulton all the way from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. Going to talk about a lot of exciting things here today. We're talking about North Korea. What the hell is going on with these guys? We're talking also about the Hurricane Harvey that's devastated. We're talking about United Nations. Do they actually do anything? Are they a useless tit? What's going on, Antifa? What are they doing? And also, death of the box office. What's happening? How is that affecting the box office? How is it affecting entertainment? How does it affect funny? How does it affect everything? Guys, it's Scrotus POTUS. Share, subscribe, listen, tell your friends. Exciting episode of Scrotus POTUS. I am your host, Wade MacWin. Joining me, some guests, some very funny guys. One back from Edinburgh, Phil Nickel, back from Edinburgh, Scotland, doing his fantastic tour. Dave Fulton, another returning guest. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us. Another episode of Scrotus POTUS.
Well, nice to be here.
Yeah, it's good.
We were just talking about how we underdressed. He was felt bad, and then I'm here with my Orfino maniacs. Orfino is a small town in Idaho. And it's where they put the criminally insane prisoners. And, and the high school team is called Maniacs.
That's amazing.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm surprised with all the things when they're like redacting all the school names. I'm like, you know, that's really offensive. Because
well, you know what happened is they kind of went, well, we'll name it someplace else. But everybody lobbied, like, can we have the old name back? It's like in Richland, Washington, where the Tri-Cities are, you know, Richland, that's where they developed some of the nuclear, you know, the atomic stuff for the bomb.
Yeah.
And it was called... I think it was Kirkland, Washington, and they were called the Kirkland Bombers. Yeah, and they had a mushroom cloud on their jerseys.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. Perfect.
I don't know if they got that one back in.
No.
Which takes us into our first topic, North Korea.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, they threw a missile across Japan, and like Japan has like a warning goes off. Hey, there's a missile coming by.
Yeah.
Stay
in your basement. And yeah.
So, I mean, what do we do about them now?
Can you imagine the people that actually survived Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Yeah. They hear the thing, they're like, oh, crap, here we go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This one's bigger, apparently.
Yeah.
However, it's Korean made, so.
Oh, so.
Was that Russian?
It's North Korean way.
Just the North, though, not the South.
Yeah, not the North. Not all Koreans.
I don't trust the bomb that has a full service history.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, what if it did hit Japan, though? Could you imagine what the incident would have set off if it did? It's like,
what do you think they were aiming for Japan and missed?
They sent it over Japan. It's like, look what we can do, you know, because it's all the.
Yeah, but they were answering sort of a.
It was an answer to military maneuvers, but those military maneuvers are going on for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know, so it's pretty big move to actually throw a missile over a sovereign country.
Yeah.
And over their borders.
It's like being in a cinema and flicking popcorn at some large dude with his girlfriend trying to have a romantic meal.
Flicking it over his head, so he just sees it go over.
Yeah. Like, so he turns around and you act like, what's nuts?
Well, hey, man, I was trying to hit the guy in front of you.
Yeah, sorry.
Front of me, man.
The difference being, though, the guy flicking would have a suicide vest on because you know, there's what is America going to do? They realize it's like, what the hell can you do?
Well, you know, what's crazy about that is the China doesn't want North Korea to go to war because the refugee crisis would just cripple.
Sure, plus the fallout or anything else that happens on their border.
You know, and as far as like, you know, we've got a president who says we got nukes. How come we ain't using them? You know, which was the same thing Nixon used to say. Nixon wanted to nuke North Vietnam for fuck's sake. And we got these things. We get a small one, just pop it in there. That'll teach them a lesson. That kind of shit. And Trump is just right in there. Let's do it.
Well, there is that fear, isn't there, that the Korea has a small one that they could load up.
It's the fire in hell they would unleash on the South and Japan. I mean, I think Trump has changed his rhetoric. They've gone from saying, you're not going to do it, to, hey, we can talk. Hey, can we work this out?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, at least they're trying. At least he's making more strides than Obama has.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing with Obama was he kept that detente, that kind of like... You know, if you do this, this is going to be shitty. And they're like, and nothing happened. Then Trump get in there. And, of course, you know, Kim Jong-un's like, oh, I got to see what this guy is. So he's like poking the bear. And Trump's like, oh, and all the Trump supporters are like, you know. And then you're like, really? Nuclear weapons, And you're going, whoa, because it's not going to affect you? And unfortunately, with me living in London... You know, and maybe the western half of the United States and North Korea may go to nuclear war. I'm the point going, God, that looks horrible. You guys want to get a pint or something there? Because that's like miles away, man.
Oh, yeah. The fallout might affect the price of the pint. But other than that, we should be fine.
Sure.
Which way is wind blowing? Okay, all right.
But it seems this sort of this ratcheting up that gets to a point that you go, what the fuck is finally going to happen? You know, is America, because it gets to a point where America is going to get really frustrated. And they're just going to keep lobbying because, you know, obviously they're going to keep practicing to get these missiles right. until they can actually get one accurate and then go, okay. But until they get that, they're just going to keep lobbing missiles.
Yeah, well, you know, the grumbling now is because it's you can only suppress information in North Korea or any place for so long before, you know, people in North Korea going, you know, oh my God, you mean Princess Diana's dead? You know, that kind of stuff.
What? Hold on. Yeah. What?
Yeah, the Doobie Brothers broke up.
Oh my gosh, you're giving me news, Dave. I haven't read all this stuff yet.
Kennedy's been shot. Yeah. Oh. So, and all they're trying to do, I mean, Kim Jong is just trying to, they're trying to maintain that regime. They were trying to maintain that. And it's, as you go further along away from that base of, you know, defeating the Americans or keeping them at bay on the 38th parallel, it's going to get harder and harder. And especially when the people are like, yeah, us. And you go, God, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how many speeches will feed you? How many people, you know, and they know that. They know that.
But I mean, you also have a guy who basically kills anyone who says anything against him, including his own family, including his family who are close to China.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
a lot of the problems with the Chinese relationship have dissipated because he's killed everyone who talked to China. You know? It's like, oh, you got a good relationship to China. Boom.
Boom.
You know?
Yeah.
Or better yet, he tests them on like an aircraft carrier. Friggin' missile or some shit. He kills people in like really unique ways.
But he knows
like you know old school James Bond tying him into a missile in front of a.
Didn't maybe he shoot that's one what in that was.
Cannon? Yeah, he did. Shot one with a cannon. Yeah.
Maybe that's what that was. Maybe there was someone tied to that missile. Just some sort of
probably
Japanese spy.
Like Slim Pickens.
But he knows that he can't. He knows that he's going to get squashed. He must know this.
Well, I think that the whole thing being...
He can't
win. You know, everyone, you see these conspiracy theories, it's like, North Korea is one of the few that the Rothschilds don't have their banks. You know, these conspiracy Facebook kind of crap going on.
Oh, yeah, the banks. Yeah.
But I mean, it's sort of, you know, it comes to a point where obviously he wants nukes to hold on to his power. He wants nukes to go, fuck you, world, I can't be taken out. But at some point, someone's going to have to go, look, you can't... You know, China and Russia eventually are going to have to go, look, I mean, you can't keep lobbing these things
but
all over the place.
But nukes are the thing that's going to take them out, because it's that aggression.
U.S. was testing, U.S. tested their most powerful nuclear weapon ever yesterday. And apparently, you know, it's devastating, this thing.
Well, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I've been a little bit busy trying to live a life and raise a child. America detonated a nuclear weapon yesterday?
No, you obviously can't. You can't obviously, on your nuclear law, you can't detonate a nuke. But you detonate the bomb and prove that this thing's accurate within 90 feet.
Oh, right. Okay.
And this thing is like big ass. What if it does have a nuke on it? It's going to be
big
ass.
It's a Kardashian.
You can just drop it right into their
pretty
right
much
their shithole.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No.
But by the way, with Japan, you know, North Korea is just kind of going, you know, and Japan's like, look, I'm really sorry we turned your people into whores.
I know, but if they can get that kind of accuracy, then they know where he is. Why don't they just kill him?
He's deep underground.
For? Yeah.
That was pictures of him looking at the missile test.
But those things could have been released like weeks ago, you know, and I think they probably have an idea of
they
him.
They don't know exactly. What
you know, he has body doubles just like Saddam Hussein does. You know, can you imagine that guy?
The most well-fed guy in North Korea. So all I have to do is
I don't mind the haircut.
Just eat and be happy.
Give me steak.
Can you imagine being your villager by the village? You know who look? You know who you look like?
No,
who? Kim Jong-un. Oh, please, no. No. Yeah. Thanks for putting a target on my back.
Sure. Put them all in the same room. That'd be fun.
There's also there's some worrisome things that people are talking about, too, that September 9th, I mean, apparently I've read also on Facebook that the end of the world ends on the 23rd, so the 9th.
Oh, great.
Just so you know.
23rd of what? September.
September, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm in Manchester.
Perfect place. September 9th is the anniversary of the North Korea's founding day.
Oh, okay.
And
that's
so
when they do the big parade.
So they're wondering if that's going to be the day they decide to go, okay, Guam. You know, because their whole thing is they want to, basically, they want a meaningful prelude to containing Guam, which just sounds like a pretty fucking terrifying thing. There's three big military...
It sounds like a musical thing. It's a musical prelude. Hair today, Guam tomorrow.
It's been 10 minutes and Phil finally broke into song.
Yeah, well, you guys, I want to turn some entertainment to this podcast.
Still coming
all
down from Edinburgh.
Talk.
Your opinion.
But, I mean, as an American, you know, what would America do if, America would have to act if...
If they dropped a nuke on Guam, it'd be game over.
Or what if they just started shooting missiles around Guam?
They started shooting missiles around Guam. We wouldn't nuke North Korea. I'm just some fucking joke slinger from North Idaho, but you know, the contention is from after being. I was at home in June and talked to a lot of people who voted for Trump, and got to kind of understand why they did it. But in the same respect, I don't think it would be just hell on earth. You know, fire and fuel like the world's ever known. Like you know, fucking numbnuts was talking about. But I do think the military would come in with some strategic strikes. that with cameras on the front of the missiles so we can all watch it again and again on YouTube, mm-hmm. that would just take this mother... I mean, if you think... you don't think that they don't know kind of where these things sure. are launching. Yeah. And they've got all that laser sighted on. And if they, you know, like, we're going to launch a missile over, you know, into Guam tomorrow, there's going to be kind of a, yeah, you, fuck you. And then somebody's going to hand them a note under the table going, you better read that. And going, oh, shit, they actually are looking at us right now, you know. And
yeah. Well, yeah, the missile they launched in Japan, apparently the U.S. and no one really knew it was coming. It was one of those things at 16 minutes, they're suddenly like, oh, crap, there it is. It was launched from a mobile missile or from a missile launcher through the, like, the major airport.
Well, I'm not saying they would know when the missile went, but after it went.
Oh, yeah, after they would.
After it went and it landed, it'd be like, boom.
Yeah. yeah.
That's it. The keys would be turned. Damn.
Yeah. Well, you wonder about the anti, you know, if you, especially if you use anti-missile missiles, you know, is that a start of a war? You know, if someone fires a missile, you knock it down. It's like, motherfucker.
Well, that's why the Japanese didn't knock that one down, surely.
Well, they knew.
They did not. That would have been an act of aggression, and Korea would have used that as an...
Well, an act of aggression, I mean, someone...
They launched a missile yeah. over your house.
I know, but it's not at your house.
If you're sleeping and someone starts pissing over your face while you're sleeping, and while they are maybe a little bit dribbling on you, it's landing in the pool
Memories.
Behind you.
Memories.
Speaking exactly. of that, bro.
I pay good money for that.
Speaking of that, bro.
And that guy had a picture
I said in my face. Yeah. But, I mean, you're going to go, hey, man, you're pissing across my face.
Yeah.
You know? Eventually, know. You've got your dick out, it's against my face, sure. and there's a steady stream of piss going sure. across my face.
Sure.
A lot of people dream about it. I'm just wondering.
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't. I, it's.
Well, the security gets... the Security Council's met, though, right? So the UN are the China being part of that discussion. I think we'll have this in the strongest terms.
On the other side of this, though, I mean, as far as like North Korea going, we're going to do this, blah blah blah, and all the other countries that are, you know, part of the nuclear what's it called?
Non-proliferation, yeah.
all that kind of stuff. You know, there are saner heads are prevailing elsewhere. Even sure. in Pakistan, who has their batshit crazy moments, are yeah. just kind of going, whoa.
Yeah.
And Trump, at this point, has made himself such a fucking international laughingstock that he's like, that's right, nukes tomorrow. They're like, yeah. We're not really doing that, by the way.
Yeah, we're not. You know? Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody just look at his wife. She's in high heels.
Everyone calm down, yeah.
Yeah, because I think initially, if he'd actually shown any kind of reserve and judgment and leadership skills, you know, and kept himself on on the teleprompter, read what was scripted, and then said, right, we have to act. You kind of go, okay, all right, he knows what's going down. But you just go, no, you're just, no. you know, you're going to go to some place like, you know, Colorado, Eastern Colorado or Kansas, run another one of your goddamn, you know, Trump rallies, which, quite honestly, at this point, just creep the fuck out of me.
Sure.
I mean, you don't
like seeing thousands of white men in khakis well, you know, and white shirts.
One, hundreds, you know, not yeah. thousands, hundreds.
It's like a Best Buy employee's
well, the
convention.
Last one, after about an hour, most of them left, and because, you know, you're three quarters is an hour in the parking meter, so, you yeah. know, you got to go out and feed the meter or just fuck off. So, yeah so it's dwindling, but because he is so egocentric and... of megalomaniac, and that sells fucking newspapers, and it makes people turn. And I need an intervention. I need my friends to come over, turn off the TV, going, dude, yeah. you have to stop watching this. You have
yeah. Get off the news, Dave.
You have to start commenting on Facebook. You have to go. Yeah, and some of the people I grew up with, I've unfriended them because they're getting all their news from Breitbart. They call themselves like, I have no problem with minorities as long as they got here legally. And I'm like, well, you didn't, you fucking cracker. I mean, you got to remember about 80%, you know, give or take, of the black people in America were brought there against their will, slavery, right? And the white people who have been there maybe 100, 100 and a half are going, you know, and you're like, wait, they were kind of here before you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should cut them a little more slack because they laid the, you know, they fucking laid the path down.
That sounds like logic to me, though, Dave.
No.
Yeah, that actually makes
I don't
sense,
think that works in today's protestings and everything.
No.
I mean, it's interesting to think, too, that America does not have an ambassador to South Korea right now. It's a vacant position. And they're trying to nominate this guy, Victor Cha.
I don't want
to
go.
Yeah, no one really wants it, but this guy's like...
What would you?
This guy, Victor Cha, he's like an expert on North Korea, and basically his whole thing is China is not doing enough. We need to push all the thing onto China. China should be the one. They need to take a starring role. Why does China not want to get involved? Is it because Trump's an idiot? I mean, you'd think that they want better relations, so why not step in and do something as opposed to going, don't do that.
You know, I think, you know, Trump obviously is constantly is like, China and I, we have a great relationship, and then like four tweets later, you're like, oh, man,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of dwindling. And also, China has so much paper on America.
Yeah.
I mean, they own
them. But they also own them, yeah.
Yeah, they own them. So if we go, you got it, and China's like, dude, just point at the load
bearers going, no, you think you should think
shut
so.
Up now. Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like China and America. It's like watching the relationship between Chris Brown and Rihanna. You know, it's just sort of this toxic.
Who's Chris Brown?
I think America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Throw a few pops and then cry. I didn't mean to. I love you.
Yeah, but you know, the problem with that is Chris Brown was regretting the afterwards. That was a monster. I can't believe I did that.
Exactly. That was under influence.
And America has not done that.
Well, I think the only reason he regretted it because it affected his album sales and people wouldn't work with him.
Right.
But that's what is happening to America.
Yeah, no,
it's
exactly.
going to affect their album sales.
Well, there's another thing said about Trump said about the Hurricane Henry
or Harvey.
Harvey. Yeah, when he showed up, it's a good turnout. Thanks for
thanks for all you guys in your boats here. It's really nice to see you. You came out brave the weather.
They should just have a guy with a trombone behind or like a tuba. Everything he said
with a cut mute.
Well, you mentioned the United Nations Security Council. Does the UN, you've got China and Russia on there who basically shoot each other in the foot anytime there's anything meaningful consequence in the world. Is the United Nations, is it even matter anymore?
Well, yeah,
There's billboards in North Idaho that says U.S. out of UN, out of United
Nations. Well, there's American conspiracy theories that the United Nations is planting signals in the road signs so they can be prepared for the invasion.
That's not true.
Well, that's just nuts. Obviously, it needs to be. A remodeling. Like, so it was the League of Nations, and it was remodeled, right? So
that was Woodrow Wilson.
So it needs to be remodeled. You know, it can't just sit there as a bureaucracy.
The thing about that, every intelligent president we've had has, history's beat the shit out. You know, Woodrow Wilson tried to form the League of Nations. Yeah. It bit him in the ass. Richard Nixon, who was brilliant and a foreign policy expert. But incredibly paranoid and a crook, so that bit him. But then Reagan, who was a fucking dim light bulb, but a huge people person, we had a successful 8 years there with him. So you kind of look at Trump going, okay, you're obviously incredibly fucking dimwit, but you have no personality. Nobody wants to follow you, even into the toilet to wipe your ass. So you kind of wonder, what's the lead on this? And also, the UN just issued a thing. They gave a warning to the United States that you're heading down a racist path. And these are the same warnings they gave to, like, fucking,
Israel.
Nicaragua and Israel and Sierra Leone. And now America, and my friends in the States vote for Trump going, oh, they're just watching that, that fake news about the, this, that in Charlottesville. And I'm like,
That misdirection of the fake news thing drives me nuts.
But, even when you look at the United Nations and all the conflicts going on in the world and all this shit that's happening, and you look at like even the Darfur crisis or problems going on with Boko Haram, are they doing anything? When you've got inequality, what are they actually doing?
Well, they send.
I'm just saying this is.
No, they send international troops with cool helmets,
blue helmets, so you can pick them off better.
Well, they do send regional troops as well, which isn't always Africa. Not always the best idea to have those regional troops because there is so much fighting amongst those nations anyway. But it's better than having, can't send Swedish guys to the middle of
Congo. I think you need something like United Nations if you didn't have that, where
you
everybody
have to have it.
You can come in, and even if that person has. Limited influence, you still have to go, why the fuck did you do that?
Yeah.
Like, hey, man, I'm just collecting a paycheck here. So you can actually physically, address a nation on a one-to-one basis. And and that message will be taken back. Not that they would, take that seriously, but at least go, hey, and now before we break for lunch, the United Nations guys, they don't like us. Okay, who wants the Pam sandwich?
If you don't have the United Nations, it ends up being fights in the parking lot, right? If you don't have Gus people going, hey, hold on, sit down, let's talk about it. If you don't have that, you just have people going at it.
Well, with technology the thing with technology now, you could just get rid of the United Nations and have every major head of every country on WhatsApp, Where you're like, I'm bombing North Korea. What? What's happening? This and that. Hey, who ordered the...
We're moving towards the New World Order where we all have a vote all the time on everything.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Who really cares about it?
Yeah, that's the
so,
bad
thing. We're going to have a referendum, four or five referendums a day.
Yeah.
There's always been the crazies. It's just now that everybody has the voice. I mean, it's like my black friends back in America. And they're like, hey, the violence isn't new. It's the cameras.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's been happening for fucking years.
Well, that's sure. And those, you know, those things happening in the Berkeley beatings, all that stuff. That's just because we can see them now.
Yeah.
Well, those, those things were happening. Those things are always been happening. Yeah. When I was a teenager in Toronto, which is like, you know, not anywhere near like America.
More white bread, please.
No, I was running when I was 15. We went to ARA meetings and, you know, in Nathan Phillips Square, there was a National Front meeting. We all went along to try and beat them up. But we were like teenagers. But if you showed that on film, it looked like nasty, violent, anti-racist action. It's like a bunch of kids.
There was decent people on both sides.
Kids slapping each other over the top of people going, stop it. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not violent. It's not that I think you said it was like ultra violence of the Antifa.
I don't know if you saw. So if you saw what happened in Berkeley last week, because there was supposed to be the right-wing rally in San Francisco. That was canceled. Originally, the protesters were going to just have their dog shit everywhere. So they would step in dog shit. Tee-hee-hee, how funny. So then San Fran canceled it. And then Berkeley, the protest, 4,000 people, sort of anti-racism, but people were very calm. But then these Antifa people, black masks, sneak in with the crowd, and people that were on both sides say, you saw these guys come in. Like, whatever their affiliation or whatever it is, they sneak in, and then they start booting people. And they were carrying these shields, I guess, that had, like, pastel shields with, like, you know, slogans and stuff on them, and so they would use their shields and go right in. I mean, obviously violence sucks in any time when you're trying to have a discourse, but how can you disguise it as the left and go, no, we're here, we're not like the right wing, we're here for thoughts and ideas, and then you go and you boot stomp people who are being peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, there is that, and I get that, but if you show up, there's like a rally for one side and the protesters from the other side, and they show up, and, like, these guys started throwing punches. They had, you know, shields, and they had black masks, and they had sticks. And, like, okay, well, who's the good guys? Who's the bad guys? I'm kind of going with the guys waving the Nazi flag.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're peacefully holding a Nazi flag and doing Sieg Heils and Hail Trump and all the other kind of stuff. And they're like, yeah, but those guys over there with the flags, you know, you got beaten up on it. You're worse than us. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, and I granted that's not the right way to do it. But you're holding a motherfucking Nazi flag.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, and this is the country that went over there to fucking knock the shit out of these guys. And, you know, my uncle was D-Day plus one. And if he was alive today, he would be losing his mind over this.
Yeah.
You know, and also the Confederate statues. We all know they put them up during the Jim Crow days and during the equal rights, you know, the whole civil rights thing in the 60s. It's not like, I've always seen that statue there. Exactly. You were born in 72.
Yeah, those statues were made out of brass, and they've crumbled when they pulled them down because they were cheap.
They're not made out of marble. They're not made. They're not solid. Like,
they're just they're just
it's
rubbish.
A Walmart statue.
Yeah, they're horrible. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, put absolutely up by horrible. The daughters of the Confederacy who were trying to bring back.
But it does bring the reality is that the South hasn't. There's still a lot of problems with that.
Oh God,
those, but there's still. Know, this is Berkeley, though. This is California, though. This is going. This is supposed to be the cradle of enlightenment in California. And the mayor of Berkeley has even said that he wants to block Antifa from coming in ever again.
Yeah, well, see, I can, as someone that sort of sits to the left of that of this argument, I don't think that violence back fighting fire with fire has ever worked. Because then the worst bit of it is what happened in the G20 in Toronto is you get agent provocateurs who then turn it into an anarchist. Something that anarchists and anti-fascists. So if they start fighting that way with masks and the next thing you know is to just get infiltrated and end up killing someone, and then that'll look bad. That'll make the left wing look. The right wing will use it against them. So that's what will happen.
Well, that's what's starting to happen now.
Yeah,
Seattle, same thing. You know, when that happened years ago, a buddy of mine has a snowboard shop there. The Snowboard Connection he used to have a radio show in L.A. And I said, so what'd you do when an old brick off here? And he goes, I got a couple $100 and $5 bills and just walked into the crowd, and they're like, fuck you. And I go, hey, you want $5? They're like, what's this for? Oh, I just want to give you $5. Oh, cool. Yeah. And they just like fucked off and got a coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said, so you paid him off to go away? He goes, yeah, I paid both sides. I'm like, fuck off.
Oh, there's a guts to get it. Maybe you should fly planes with the 20s.
Just drop money.
Just drop money.
Man, I would attend more rallies.
I would definitely
like
be attending
Black
more
Friday.
Rallies.
Yeah.
We're
only paying off the Nazis.
Really? Who hates Nazis? I know.
No, we like Nazis. Shoes. No, I like them. Where's my $100?
Pay to play on both sides.
That is simplistic, but that is what should be happening. The American government put money into education and paying people to hate it. They would.
Sure, that's how you. That's exactly you get paid for your opinion. Just do it on Facebook. Yeah. Why do it live? Just Facebook. Thing,
it's not
click on
get,
here to hate.
It's not going to get any better because America made massive cuts to family planning and the abortion thing and all the other kind of crap. They're not funding any of this kind, not funding any birth control. So we're going to have this four-year chunk of teenage pregnancies of, you know, from incredibly low-income,
yeah,
undereducated individuals, yeah, and these people are going to be brought up in that. So 20 to 25 years from now, we're going to have a crime wave in the United States. We're like, where the fuck did these guys come from?
Yeah.
It's because we cut any kind of education, any kind of family planning, you know, status, yeah, anything that would stem that off. And that was, you know, in Freakonomics, they proved that.
So, is there a way, though, with that wall being built, that maybe you could build an abortion clinic inside the wall?
Well, you know, my big thing right now is I think we're building the wall on the wrong border. I want the wall between us and Canada.
Yeah, good luck.
Exactly. You know what? We'll pay for it.
Because you guys are up.
We'll pay for it. Like, do you have health care?
Yeah.
We'll look at you and look at me, David.
We'll do a little Game of Thrones wall of ice there for you.
Global warming. Yeah. It'll be gone in a week.
And plus, guys like David, let's just climb that.
I'll just climb that.
Yeah, yeah. We'll build all the meth we collect from you guys at the border.
Yeah. Wow.
That kind of a nice wall.
Wow.
There was interesting, though, because Trump, and everyone's sort of off about this, that Trump, he repealed Obama had a law basically banning police officers from having military equipment.
Right.
And so Trump's like, yeah, come on, you need the military equipment. So he's allowed it back again, because you also had a lot of guys that were joining police forces that were former military.
Yeah.
You know, obviously that hadn't been dealt with in a psychological sense. It's like, no, you still want to kill people. Yeah, okay, here's a gun and a badge.
Well, you know, that's, you know, the military, obviously, there's a high turnover of weapons and technology and things like this. And so they essentially kind of have two choices. It's either sell it to a foreign country, eBay and Nicaragua, or you sell it off to law enforcement, and they're like, this is an easy one because it's in the armory, you know, on the state line. We'll just sell it to Montana and happy days. And as a result, and I've seen this, I've seen the trunks of some of the cop cars in the United States, and you're like, holy shit, are we going to be invaded anytime soon?
But didn't I say that on one of the earlier Scordus Pros that I thought that maybe Trump was going to try and revitalize the Rust Belt by turning it into war weapons manufacturing. Cars, vehicles for police forces that can also be used by the Army.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so you could also melt down all the guns prediction. And turn them into statues of Confederate heroes. That is
you
something.
You could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it banging swords into plowshares? That'll never happen.
Do you see the guy that got his armory ripped off, the arms salesman? They just drove his truck through the door. And you look at the building, it's like, it's got like a 12-high fence with a little bit of barbed wire. Like, it's the easy, like, all they did is drive a truck through the door and then steal. And they left loads of weapons. But they just bought anything you want. One of those, you know, $30,000 worth of weapons.
Well, you know, during the Obama, Barack Obama was the number one icon for firearm sales in the United States. They sold more guns during the Obama administration than they've ever had in the history of every other president combined.
Why?
The NRA was convinced, and had everybody else convinced, and the Republican Party had everybody convinced that Barack Obama was going to take the guns away. Not register them, not maybe put a restriction on military-grade weapons, which fucking, you know, holy shit.
Yeah.
But it's like, he's going to take them. So people, there was a rush. There was a rush like, I want to get that one, because that guy in the White House, he's going to take them all. And now that Trump's in, because sales are like, yay! And Trump's in, people are like, well, I don't need to buy any more guns. So all the gun manufacturers, they are fucking, I mean, you know, Labor Day sales on guns, you know. Hey, everyone, an AR-15, normally $600, marked down to $254, you know. And
that's a good deal.
And nobody's buying them because they're like, I already got one. I paid $600 for mine. Now it's fucking $255. Mm. And you're like, well, maybe I'll get another one for the wife, you know. And that's what it's kind of come
my
down
to. My daughter's 16th birthday coming
up. That's what you want
to
get a girl for the prom, you know, AR-15 assault rifle, just in case. Obviously, another big thing going on in America, which is devastating, the worst storm in 50 years, Hurricane Harvey touched ground.
Now, it's all that gay sex in Texas.
It's bittersweet because...
Where's Capro when you need him for a quippy compact?
Harvey's a devastating hurricane, but it's also my father's name, so I was kind of rooting for it in a way.
Oh, well.
Okay. You know, you're just sort of like, you know when you hear one named after something? But, you know, it's... And a lot of people are, it seems weird too, when you have, you know, the president is, everyone by all accounts, dealing with it very well. He showed up and people, even though we're going off about Melania's footwear. The whole thing, it just seems, it's dealing when you've got a president dealing with a global catastrophe who's sort of a climate denier when we have one of the worst storms in 50 years hit. You know, the sort of irony there of You know, the reason that the Gulf is going to get worse and worse for hurricanes, because not only the warm water, because it's getting warmer and warmer, but what's happened is you have a lot of nitrates that have gone in through the rivers that come in and just kill. Like, if you look at the Gulf of Mexico, it is dead. Yeah. Like, it is dead. So these hurricanes just whip up and then punch America right in the throat. What can you do about these things? Is there anything you just sort of wait for August?
The thing is, you remember, Houston was hammered with a horrible storm back in the turn of the 20th century. I mean, just, you know, this wall of water just came right up, you know, and just wiped everything out. And so all the climate change deniers are going, yeah, what about that one?
Yeah.
You know? Fair enough. There you go. What I find, you know, ironic is, you know, Trump signed in an executive order to cut federal funding for emergency, you know, the FEMA thing by $600 million. But it isn't going to affect till like October.
Yeah.
No.
So all the stuff that's happening, all the aid, everything else like this, is happening from the Barack Obama administration. That's where all that stuff is in there. It's kind of like when Bush went into Afghanistan and Iraq, people were like, oh, my God, look at the cool weapons Bush has. They were developed during the Clinton administration.
Yeah, okay.
You know, all that was done there during the stop and search. So the so all that's in there. And people are like, oh, yeah, we got this, we got that. And the FEMA guys are like, we're going to be dealing with this for years, you know, and... You know, and there's always going to be harsh criticisms about, you know, this and that should have been happening this. And why did the mayor not do a full evacuation? He goes, because I didn't want 6.5 million people on the roads.
Yeah.
I kind of understand.
No, I think hindsight has proven that right. You know, it would have been, I mean, you've lost maybe 16, 17 people, but imagine the carnage of everyone leaving.
and also, you got to remember, they're Texans.
Yeah.
I mean, they're nice folks, but they ain't, you know, hey, there's something coming in. I'm a Texan. Nobody pushing me off my land. I'm a Texan. Holy shit, I'm drowning.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. And by the way, you know, there's a huge fucking flood in India right now.
Yeah, no,
and hundreds have died.
1,500 or something have died in Southeast Asia.
And they're probably looking at Texas going, "You fucking pussies."
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Well, I did think when you watch the news. Not that I, you know, obviously it's sad. The loss of life is sad, but you're looking at everyone in like really top quality rain gear, boats, guys with. You know, water skis and all that stuff.
They all came in with bass boats. I think that was kind of cool. The entire top half of Texas came down and went, we got to help them.
We helped them,
It's been pretty cool. It's a very human spirit. It's really nice to see.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, and it's probably the same in India. They just don't have the infrastructure to save to save those people.
They need more guns.
You know.
Stop the flood. You use guns as a paddle.
Yeah.
You can shoot the flood as it comes to your house. I guarantee you someone tried to shoot the flood. I guarantee you there was some drunk tech. I'll shoot that flood for coming in my house.
Why not? Yeah.
I shot my dog.
You see the guy that caught the fish in his living room.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the shark in the rivers.
You see sharks, but there was a lot of people seeing sharks, and it was like hoaxy kind of stuff. Like, I saw a shark now.
Okay.
There's gators, but there was one funny one I saw of someone. There was fire ants. You know fire ants? I don't know if you ever touched.
Oh, yeah. I saw the picture today.
Did you see one? There was another one of a person touching them.
Touched
the fire ants. It's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I've been stung by fire ants before, and those fucking hurt.
Well, there was an article today saying there's fire ant, the injuries that people have sustained are fire ant bites on fire ant bites on fire ant bites, and which they're finding really hard to deal with.
You see
the pictures of them. There's like a room this size, just like that thick with fire ants, and you got to wade through them. To safety.
To get it to safety. It's like an extra.
Yeah. And they're waist high.
Mm-hmm.
Unlucky.
And the gig is on the other end of the room?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, what's his pay?
Yeah, do it.
Yeah, exactly. I got bit by them once I was in Florida, and I think it was only a couple of them that bit me, but I couldn't wear a shoe on the plane. Like, that's how bad it was the next day.
Yeah.
And you're sort of like, it was pre-9/11 too, which is lucky, but you're just like, holy shit. And they're like, oh, fire ants. Oh, you learned. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Still bitter.
I know. It's just, I don't know. To me, it's this whole, I mean.
Let's talk about that pastor dude.
Oh, Joel Osteen?
Oh, that guy
who let people into his church?
That's a slappable face. Come on, let's say
I would open up my doors, but the parking lot's flooded. Did you see the guys in the parking lot? They're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the Bible
I think he eventually
verse
did give in.
He did give in. He did.
It's easier to get a camel
Tuesday.
Than
he says they can come in on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Exactly.
Yeah, when it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no poor people.
No,
$10 entry.
He's giving them air mattresses in case the flood does hit. Lido.
Well, God told him to do that. God's like, don't let the poor people in. They're just going to ruin everything. Man. You don't want them on the furniture.
$10 million mansion. He's got about like 20 kids as well, all from different countries. He's a collector.
Wow.
Got one. Need
him. Was he just like picks up babies or something.
He's like Madonna squared.
Yeah, but you know, he brings them into the church and goes, "Look what I've done! Another great thing. Woo-hoo, give him our money."
It is. I mean, when you see that sort of whole faith culture of America. When I was in Florida, seeing so many churches that were obviously poor churches, and then you see these other churches, you're like, "What the fuck is that thing? That shining jewel?"
Yeah.
Of like,
you think it's a mall. You're like,
18,000. It's like a hockey arena.
Yeah.
Amazing. And there's been no skating. I don't get it.
And I mean, people, obviously he's enriching his empire by doing that, but you know, it's sort
of not paying any taxes either.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, there's the big one. No, that shit's got to be stopped. I should shine a light on it. It's absolutely disgusting.
Well, God should shine a light on it. I mean, that's his people.
Well,
right?
Yeah. It's unfortunately there is no God to
what
for retribution. No God, no retribution. Pastor Osteen.
So here's another interesting thing that I saw. I don't know if you know the Sea Shepherd. You know this thing? It's a whaling vessels. There's one that they got. I remember seeing it. It was like called the My Addie Gill. Someone had given them it was like a trimaran, like cruising vehicle, like around the world, this Australian one. And then the Japanese just smashed into it, broke it. But they're basically saying that they can no longer, since they've been doing it since 2005, they've been shadowing the Japanese.
Yeah.
Because the Japanese still love to kill whales, even though they say it's for scientific research. Sure. And meanwhile, they just put them on people's plates.
Word has it, if you hold a whale up, it'll block North Korean missiles.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard it would block the eclipse. I didn't know about missiles, too. Because that's what they were using for eclipses, just holding up whales.
The blubber.
Wait a minute. So Sea Shepherd has stopped sailing, and North Korea is starting to fire missiles. Maybe we will discover North Korea is being run by Greenpeace.
Oh, my gosh. That would explain so many things. I don't know what it would. But, I mean, Japan, killing whales. Everyone's basically said, don't kill the whales.
Yeah.
And especially you can't go to Antarctica and do it because that's not your waters.
Yeah.
And they killed 311 last year of the minke whales for science purposes.
Well, they're also killing them in a farm area where they're not supposed to be killing them.
Yeah, well, they're with the problem, I guess, the Sea Shepherd people are saying, these Australian group is basically saying what they've done is equip all of their boats with military equipment. They have tracking things, but they also hide from us, and they also have military boats with reclaimed to help protect them. So we can't even get even close to them, and even if we do, Japan just passed a law this year that if you go after a boat like that, that's a terrorist act, and you are all terrorists, and you'll be arrested for terrorism.
You got to remember, though, that minke whale blubber is good for the... Yeah.
But it's not working.
But what's wrong with, like, Viagra, then? Like, do you really need whale blubber?
More chemicals. This is all natural.
Yeah, the population has been going down in Japan, though, so it's not working.
Yeah.
Lose the minky.
I mean, at one point, because when we have you winky for your dinky.
There you go.
Minky dink. At what point, I mean, just we just let Japan do this shit? Do we let any country go around just
start? I reckon we should fire missiles at them.
I mean, if they were doing it to dogs, you know, if they were rounding up dogs, which is a lot easier to round up, by the way, you just open up the gate and come on in. But if they did that, I think people would be fucking incensed.
So they do it in China.
They do that.
They do it in China.
They eat dogs.
There's a festival recently where
Chinese eats anything that's got legs except for the table.
There was something online recently about them boiling. They boiled dogs live.
Yeah.
Because it gets the
fur off faster.
Do you have a recipe for that online? Is that on?
I know you like a barbecue.
Also, they hit them with a blowtorch when they're alive too.
That it's to get the adrenaline going, makes them taste better.
Does the same work for human?
Don't know.
But every
we're
country,
gonna find out.
Every country kind of has its, you know, generational ecological ignorance. I mean, you know,
but this has been going on for a while, and they're increasing their kills. You know, and the whole thing is just this guy's getting under research.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, who
there was that? Was that what was that fantastic movie, The Cove?
Okay, yeah.
You know, just see that documentary. What a great! I think it won an Academy Award. It's a great film. If anyone listening wants to watch a great film, The Cove. It's heartbreaking. And the guy that led that expedition he's been turfed out of that whaling conference run by Japan. Whale preservation conference run by Japan. It's the whole thing's a joke, really. You know,
they're just looking for new recipes and how to catch them better, probably.
Yeah.
It is sad when you start. I mean, because there are global populations. Some certain animals, I mean, obviously, as inhabitants of this planet, we have to protect them.
Yeah.
Right? We do have a responsibility to protect the other things that are smaller than us because it makes us a bigger thing. But at what point do you stop a nation and go, don't do that? I mean, in Canada, obviously, our natives kill a lot of seals and stuff, but they're doing it like there's only like 20 of them they're killing, and it's for their community. They eat it all.
Yeah.
It's not like the government's doing it. It's like, yeah, go ahead, kill a few.
Yeah. You know? But the flip side, you get up to, you know, And what's thing? It's an economic thing. You know, the black rhino horn. You know, idea. Oh my God, they get tens of thousands of dollars for that black rhino. And snow leopard pelts. You know, which you know, like all you know, holy shit, incredibly protected and an animal, beautiful. And they're still you know slaughtering them out. So and it's all about economic reasons. I mean,
and you mentioned the rhinos, and I had a friend of mine that was in Africa, helping and volunteering with a lot of the sort of thing. And he said like there were like people using high-powered rifles shooting these rhinos in captivity, and then going in and shooting at the guys. Like, who the fuck is buying rhino horns? I mean, I think it's trying to identify.
It's medicine, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's superstition and medicine mixed.
But
together.
I mean, shouldn't we then flood the market with like a whole bunch of knockoff rhino horns? Like, if we were to then create and like go into like a 3D printer or whatever the fuck it is, create like an extra 30,000 fake rhino horns and just put them in the market and go, there you go. Yeah. You don't know which ones are real anymore.
Well, they were cutting them off. They were tagging them, cutting them off, and you know, some of the trying to keep the numbers up. They're you know, bringing them down. But you just hear about the other one. There was an African tribe that there's a specific whatever following that believes if you eat human body parts, it makes you stronger. If you eat the heart and the liver of a woman, you become bulletproof. And I just heard some BBC World Service where this guy came in the police station and says, arrest me, I'm tired of eating human beings. And they went, get the fuck out of here. And he pulled out a hand out of his and I got this, and I got a foot, and I'm tired of eating this stuff. And they went back to his house, and they found, like, a stock pot full of ears, and and there was this whole village of women who were scared, couldn't even go down the well, because these guys are grabbing them, and then cooking their parts up, and feeding them off to the criminals, because they believed it made them invincible. So that shit is still happening.
Yeah.
You know?
This crazy superstition.
Well, I'm just never going to vaccinate my children. That's what I'm going to do. Because that's science has taught us anything.
You know, you can't believe science anymore.
Fake news, is it?
Yeah, fake news. Not even fake news, it's a faith.
Mm.
If you have faith in science.
what they're doing now, especially with global warming, it's called attribution science, isn't it? That if you can attribute certain things, which is, I think, which they're trying to sort of get in, that scientists are hoping this attribution science comes in, because then it allows you to then prove certain things and then retroactively sue people who like pollute or do something bad, because you can attribute the science to, you know, people say, my pollutants didn't do this. It's like attribution science. Actually, you did, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You
well, I hope shit. That is true, because I think there's a lot of companies out there that just laugh in the face of the research.
But I mean,
I think the whole idea of, and the same as the fake news, the experts aren't experts anymore. Well, we have to believe somebody. And I know that it can be used. A lot of pharmaceutical companies, you use experts to, you know, purport this and that. But you still have to somehow get through it, dig through it, and believe experts. Because people that do study it, especially when it comes to climate change, the people that are studying it probably have our best interests at heart overall. Or are hired by the energy people to put false facts out.
Well, those are the scary ones when you wonder who the doctors on the pay, you know, because there's so many of those that happen, especially in America when it comes to pharmaceuticals and stuff, that doctors will just tell exactly what the person who bought their Cancun vacation told them.
Well, that's the thing too, is you know, because I'm still friends with a buddy of mine in the Northwest, and you know, meth is huge. Crystal meth is destroying communities, opiate addiction destroying communities, and they're like, oh, do you guys have a meth problem over in the UK? I'm like, well, no, not really. And like, and they're like, what do you mean you don't? Well, we don't. Well, do you know what it is? Oh, yeah, they know what it is. And I think, you know, because I asked around, I have friends of mine, you know, in the gay community. They're like, oh, yeah, it's a gay club. It's a gay drug. Yeah, all the gay people, you know, do meth. And so it's kind of like, oh, you do crystal meth? Oh, wow, you're gay? You know, and it's not like I want to stay up for fucking 14 days. And so it just never caught on here, and the opiate thing is taken care of because the NHS doesn't, you know, freely just you know, prescribe tons of pharmaceuticals because they get kickbacks from the you know, the pharmaceutical salesmen and all, and you know, get free holidays and this, that, and the other. But yeah, sure, the whole town has been fucking wrecked with Oxycontin, but fuck it, man. You see my boat? You know?
Yeah, that's
so,
right. That's
and then
right.
I think that's one of the problems right now with the world in general, and definitely America, is it's me, 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 me.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Are you going to help me out? Do you know how hard it is? I get that more times than I have ever in my life in the last year, just the last fucking 12 months.
Yeah.
It's people, Dave, how you doing? Dad passed about a year ago, kind of under financially. Yeah, well, you think you're under it. My such and such, this and that. And you're like, wait a minute, you asked me how my life is. Yeah. I told you, I'm not asking for a handout.
Yeah.
Now you're fucking piling it onto me.
Yeah.
And so I listen to it and go, okay, that's really bad. Is there any way we can solve that? You know, yeah, you could fucking win the lottery and make me happy. Money's not going to make you happy.
Yeah.
No. Look at Steve Jobs at the end of it. He's like, fuck, you know, I would have given the whole, you know, operating system over to anybody who get this fucking pancreatic cancer out of my belly. But so it is. It's just turned into this whole, what the fuck do you know about me? You know, and no acknowledging of what's happened, what's come before.
Yeah.
You know, we see it in our industry. You watch a comic, this guy's hot. Maybe you've seen this new comedian. He's a fucking bomb. You see him, you're like, yeah, you go see him. And you're like, oh my God, he's doing jokes about wearing a condom inside out, ribbed, because he wants a pleasure for himself. You're like, I heard that joke in 87.
Yeah.
And you're like, so? It's still funny. And you're like, yeah, but he's not the latest thing.
He's not an originator, yeah.
This is not original.
Yeah.
But you've made it about him.
It's almost like that you're right. You're touching on that thing, which I almost call like it's like a cocaine class of people, where it's everyone's sort of talking about me, and no one's really listening anymore, because it's all about getting that next fact, and people are so neurotic and sort of insecure. That it becomes, as you're right, you start talking, it's like, oh, my life is shit. You know what? That's fucking bad. You know what? I haven't... And you're just like, fuck. And it's that sort of Facebook generation of it all, too, where it's everyone just blathering on.
And you get sucked into it. I mean, the other night, Saturday night, I was doing shows at the Comedy Store. I park up. All these cars are parked up in the motorcycle parking in the bays. And it's still motorcycle parking for like another 10 minutes. I pull up and I park between this guy and his brand new Mercedes and this other thing. And he's leaning against the car. I'm like, yeah, 10 minutes. What the fuck are you doing here? He's like, what? You tell me what to do. And so we kind of yell into each other. And I'm pulling my helmet. And in the past, I just would have caved his head in. But I just thought, no, you know, the CCTV cameras, he's got to make the first move. He's yelling at me. He's like, fuck you. And I just kind of went, whoa. And I went, stop. Just stop. Dude, just stop. No, you're fucking not right. And he's already taking the next level. So I turn around and walk away. I said, go do my set. Come out. He's in the car. And he comes up to him. And I just went like this. I said, look, man, you just calm down. And he comes up. And I go, look, it's totally my fault. I jumped to the conclusions. It's all on me. You know, bad day. I'm trying to be a good dad. I believe compassion is badass.
Yeah.
If you can punch somebody, fuck you. Anybody can punch anybody. I can get a stick off the road and beat you senseless. But what does that mean? I win?
Yeah.
Fuck that, man.
Yeah.
Even if I know you're wrong. But for me to go, you know what, you've had a bad day. You know, you've come from a different avenue of this and that. You know, I understand it's been bad for you. And he shook my hand, and I go, where are you from? And he goes, Albania. And I go, well, no wonder you're fucking crazy.
but that's that old wisdom, though, isn't it? The overconfidence is actually just a mask for fear.
Yeah.
And the people that are truly confident don't raise their voices and don't have to get angry because they're confident. So all this, and this all goes back from the men on the road all the way up to North Korea and Guam, is if America and Trump was confident and had confidence and was a good leader, he'd sit back and not say anything and just go around. Just let those idiots do that thing, because we know that we can take care of it if we have to. But to be saber rattling and all that rubbish, it just makes them look like they don't. Like, the more he does that, the more I think maybe they don't know if they can take him out. Maybe North Korea is a little more powerful than they're letting on.
What's that Teddy Roosevelt thing? You know, speak softly, carry a big stick.
Yeah.
And Trump is yelling, and nobody's seen his stick.
But he's always but he has been like that. Hands. That's why I would never have voted for him in the first place, because he just seems like the most underpowered, unconfident.
That's the thing that people don't realize.
He acts so overconfident, it makes me think he's got nothing.
That's the thing that people don't realize.
Anyone who's played poker,
46% of the American population did not vote at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, and so it's just kind of like, okay. And he's like, oh, he's still got a 38% or 35% approval rating. What is it now, 33 or some shit like that? You know, and you're like, oh, that's a third of the country. No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a third of the people that voted for him.
Yeah. Understanding is, as you said, is much harder. So if he doesn't have that depth of understanding, I don't think.
No.
He doesn't show it anyway. If I'm wrong about him and deep down behind closed doors, he's deeply understanding, I'd be surprised.
He's never, but I've said this before, he's never had his ass kicked.
No.
You know, he's never had, oh, I'm right. Boom, 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 boom. Wow, maybe I pushed that too far.
Well, he does in court, but he just doesn't admit it. He loses court cases left, right, and center.
He had to borrow a lot of money.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's something to be said about being calm and
he's
very reactionary.
No fucking humility.
But the
whatsoever.
World is full of this overconfidence right now, especially coming out of the States, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is, and it's sad.
You know, and Canada has always been the kind of country that has this diplomatic base for our understanding. But don't get me wrong, we've got loads of rednecks, loads of overconfident boneheads riding around trucks thinking that they, I know what's best for me. It's just, okay, well, you don't. You just could calm down, everyone calm down, and let's talk about it. You know, and then they're trying to, and I know you're not a big fan of Trudeau because, you know, I know how you feel about him, but at the same time, he does stand for a form of diplomacy that is sort of unique to Canada, I think.
Approach him on a beach like some guy did in Vancouver and asked him some information and was a native and was quickly arrested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're approaching the leader of the country.
Well, he came to your beach. He came to your beach. He came to your beach in your native area. And yeah, anyway, it's.
Okay, this isn't about us.
I'm not going to get into that. What do you want to talk about?
As we're about Dave's a little embarrassed. Doesn't know
what we're talking. About to end it down. It was a big week in last weekend in terms of entertainment. It was the Game of Thrones finale. I don't know if you watched that.
No.
It was also the Conor McGregor Mayweather fight, which I don't know if you watched that. But what it was.
Another Game of Thrones.
And so I don't know, because you were in Edinburgh. But it was the worst box office weekend in 15 years.
Sure.
And the movies this summer have been fucking shit.
But it's all
and they haven't released
all sequels.
Well, Dark Tower. You know.
I mean, it's classic. Isn't
one of my man, Idris. Fucking love Idris.
Yeah.
And but I can't. No. Sorry. You know. And the only movie that did well was Dunkirk. Yeah. You know, which was about holy shit, we better get out of here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 did well.
It did okay, but I mean, it's been a horrible box office.
It's been a horrible fucking box office.
And it's also, I mean, as entertainers, we're starting to see the Netflix generation. We're starting to see the box set where people, and I watched The Hitman's Bodyguard, the Ryan Reynolds one.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It was just him being Deadpool. And I like him as Deadpool, but it was just Deadpool light.
Light, yeah.
And you sort of watch it and go, fuck, I can't wait till Game of Thrones is on. You know? Like, you watch something cinematic like that. And you start wondering, especially as entertainers, when we're providing entertainment on weekends or out at comedy clubs doing certain things, how that this box set generation is going to affect live entertainment, and is it affecting comedy? I mean, there's some comedy companies that are sort of booking and putting stuff together as like little packages, like Get Comedy and stuff like that.
Sure.
Is it going to affect these box sets? Does it affect live entertainment, do you think? Is it going to be a really difficult thing to overcome, or is live entertainment thriving in spite of it?
Well, I think, you know, there's a really great book out there called Bad Men. And it talks about the evolution of essentially what we call now box sets, you know, the serial television thing with no restrictions on violence and language. And it starts with The Sopranos, and the last chapter is Breaking Bad. So it's everything in between, and all those people that did everything. And I think what's happened is it was really hot. So, and, you know, you get done with one, you're like, man, I've got to see another one. So you get on Netflix and you click on, you go, okay, this got 5 stars, and you watch it, and halfway through an episode, you're like, just kill me, this is fucking shit.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you come across, I'm like, oh, what's this? And you watch Ozark, and you're like, oh my God, this is fantastic.
That's the one everyone's talking about.
Yeah, but there's so much crap in between.
Sure.
Because
there's also
other
big networks, and I mean, I was just in a series for Epix called Brilliant Station, watch it, I'm on next episode, I think. But there's other series like that, you suddenly discover, go, holy shit, there was five seasons of this, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And so suddenly it's like, and you know, if you have a girlfriend or whatever, you binge watch with them and you cheat on her with a few different episodes you said you wouldn't watch and you do. But I just wonder, in terms of live entertainment, if you've seen that it's affected in any way or affected the way the audience sort of engaged.
Well, I don't know exactly. I'm kind of charmed in a position where I'm sort of playing the major comedy clubs, and I travel around the world, and I feel quite secure in my position. But I see the bounce back in audience. Thursday nights are filling up now. There are more people going out on weekends, and it is becoming a thing to do again. But that comes and goes with the economy, and I think Britain is in for a little bit of a testing over the next few years because of Brexit. But whether that actually makes people want to go out more, because we know it's kind of that the idea that more people go out when there's a recession. Because they need to be, and what we do is actually slightly cheaper ticket prices, and it's also you get to go out in a bar and have a laugh, which doesn't mean you're not committing to go and watch a piece of theater or watch a I'd say I just came back from the Edinburgh Festival, and there was more ticket sales, but they say this every year, who knows what, but it was jammed. The first 2 weeks were jammed. All the free fringe venues were jammed. People were out and about, and whether they spent more money, I don't know, but there are certainly more people going out. And maybe box sets, I think box sets affect in films, because those are Boardwalk Empire was one of the first ones. That's like 14-hour-long film, really good film. If you watch it all at once, that's an amazing bit of
actually
art.
The first one was Sopranos, but it all kind of stemmed off.
But that was the first HBO. The Sopranos was...
Which is now a box set, But have you ever met anybody who hasn't seen Breaking Bad? You're like, oh, I just started watching Breaking Bad. You haven't seen it? Like,
yeah.
And you go... Talk to him two days later. Go, yeah, I've just finished Breaking Bad. Because that's the kind of show where you don't want to go to sleep. You're just like, I got to know
like
what happens.
It's exactly like the product.
But as far as the stand-up thing, I mean, the store, Comedy Store in London, which is one of the best clubs around, wasn't sold out every show. There's a finite number of people who go see stand-up. And there is, last time I heard, 96 comics on tour right now. So they have these posters, and there's like 50, 60, 70 dates. It doesn't mean they're selling out every night, but it sees you're out there trying to get it done. And so many comedians who are going on tour now who aren't ready. I mean, they really aren't ready. But the industry doesn't give a shit. The agents don't give a shit. You know, it's like, we don't care if you develop as a town or not. And, you know, and there's a couple of comics that I'm aware of that are on tour, I think are good comics. I think they could have been way better comics if they would have held back another 10 years. But there's no fucking way you can tell anybody that these days. But then there's a whole slew of comics who are on tour right now that they'll be back in the clubs.
But they're trading on TV success, which doesn't last as long as you're actually on the TV.
No, exactly. Particularly if it's the major talent companies and production companies who own that talent agency, own that production company, and are putting their own talent on.
Yeah, but the thing is, over here, all this stuff is on television. It's just not based on content. It's all based on demographic.
Mm-hmm.
So the best comics you see on television in the UK are not the best comics in the UK.
Overall.
No.
Yeah, overall.
They're pretty young.
And they're young. They're, for the most part, they haven't really worked out what the hell they're doing. It's very slick. And when they do the panel shows, you get guys who know what the fuck they're doing, feeding them the lines.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, boom, they're on tour. So everybody shows up to see the guy that was on such and this and that. And if you're not a fan of that individual, but if you went out to see comedy, and you go, I want to see comedy. Oh, this guy's on television. Let's go see him. And you go see him, and you go like going, huh. Wow, 20-minute bit on single beds. What the fuck? You know, or whatever, right? And I'm not trying to bag on anybody individual, but kind of... for the longest time, comedy was always like, let's go see comedy. Who's on? Don't give a shit. Let's go see comedy.
Yeah. But the best clubs still give that as a product. Because you can go to the Glee Club, the Stand, or the Comedy Store, and you will see a fantastic bill.
You'll see
the best headliners in the world. That coming through the, you know, and I think that's why the British comedy scene is still kind of
viable. Yeah. But there's definitely an income cap here. It's not like it used to be. And
no, definitely the money has not gone up in years.
No,
but yeah. I am actually attempting to do a tour. I toured nationally for about 3-4 years in a row. Did quite well, and then the Comic Roadshow, Michael McIntyre, and then this Apollo started, which I didn't get on either of those, and my touring dropped off because they were then putting in those spots in those art centers the names they saw on those shows, and so it stopped. It didn't stop me from drawing numbers, but I'm attempting to do it this year using social networking alone, including this podcast.
All right.
If you see that Phil Nichols out there, I'm doing a show, and I think it's a show worth seeing, which is why I'm doing it, not because I just want to get my name out there, because I don't need to do that.
No, it's great. As a matter of fact, my name's Dave Fulton. Yeah. When I'm not out there shooting guns or making fun of Trump, I like to go see my good friend Phil Nichols.
The show's called You're Wrong, Dave.
I
hate it already.
So we'll wrap it up. And so if you have anything to pitch, what do you got? You're gonna sell the social media self-published tour. When are you gonna start the sucker?
I'm just working on it now, but it looks like it's gonna be start by the end of the year if we can get the dates. I'm playing the places. You know, I've little groups of people that come and see me places, try and congeal it all and make it exciting for them to see. It's a new show. It's the only place you can see it. It's not a strict stand-up show, so it's not something I can do in the clubs anyway. It'll be sort of November through about May.
Perfect.
And it'll probably end up being only about 16 dates, but it'll be in small 200, 300 seat theaters.
And Dave, what do you got going on?
Besides slinging jokes to drunks in all the clubs around the country, I am in the latest issue of Classic Bike magazine.
Nice.
Talking about motorcycles and the script I've written, which is called Race with Diablo. And it's pretty much about a guy comes back from Vietnam in 1969. He's troubled. He just wants to get back to building and racing motorcycles. And he's discovered his mom sold her soul to the devil to keep him safe. And now he has to race the devil on bikes.
It's a very good thing. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you very much for joining us. Another great episode of Scrotus POTUS.
Thank you
very much. Thanks for listening. Share this, guys. Listen. Tell all your friends. This is Scrotus POTUS. Thanks a lot.